This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez, and our guest today is Robin Lee, Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold. Thank you so much for joining us again. This is, I believe, your second time on our show, isn't it, Robin?
Third time, actually.
Third, is it? Oh, my goodness.
Good morning.
Good morning. Robin's company, Hello Gold, will be announcing a token sale of its own brand of cryptocurrencies. That's happening next Monday, the 28th of August. And you're calling it Hello Gold Tokens. So when I say token sale, I don't mean it's not a token there. It's not an adjective. It's actually a noun. It's a sale of tokens, not a token sale, as it were. Perhaps we begin with the broader question of cryptocurrencies. Why should anybody get into something like this? I think of money being difficult enough, and we had to trust things like the central banks and such. Why would anybody even get into something like a cryptocurrency?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the value of cryptocurrency in today's world, and specifically token sales that are being generated over the last 6 to 9 months, presents an opportunity for the man in the street to invest in very interesting projects. If you think about the internet days, a long time ago, 30 years ago when the internet first started, and there was a lot of companies in Silicon Valley where VCs and PE funds invested in, those VCs and PEs attracted money from high net worths, and the man in the street was excluded from them. With the token sale and the use of technology, now the man in the street has the opportunity to invest in opportunities that are potentially high return but also incredibly high risk.
So that's your sales pitch, isn't it? But there's a slight difference. I mean, people are invested in a company or an enterprise or a business, whatever. This is asking people to be invested in a currency. It's like I'm investing in US dollars or something like that, isn't it? I mean, that's where the distinction might turn.
And Robin, how different are you from Bitcoin or Ethereum?
Right. So Bitcoin and Ethereum are kind of utility tokens, and they trade like currencies. I think for the token sales that people are hearing about with these offerings, they are specific for specific projects like ours, Hello Gold, or like Cal for InfoCore that's coming up in a month's time. So they are designed to raise funds to support a specific project as opposed to a generic currency.
I want to begin with, if you're speaking to me, somebody who just knows the cash in his wallet, knows that I can make some electronic transfers of wealth, through online transactions and such. I mean, I'm not really into it. How would you explain this as a phenomenon? Because I know there's a lot of hoopla around it. There seems to be, Bitcoins became so expensive and so sought after, and then they had that volatility as well. What is this thing, this intangible? I can't put it in my wallet, can I? My e-wallet, maybe.
Yes, yeah, so you can put it in your e-wallet, and you can have a nano ledger that will provide security for it. So you can put something in your wallet. It looks like a thumb drive. But to your point, what are you getting into? It's actually crowdfunding using technology. So if you think about crowdfunding in the traditional sense, you go out there, there's someone that's trying to make handbags, and they need to raise $100,000 to start the business rolling. Effectively, and they'll give you a handbag with a 50% discount. It's effectively that, but on steroids, because you're using technology and you have a global reach.
Brian, I mean, is this something that fills you with excitement? I mean, I know a man of your age, you probably have a range of investments. Are cryptocurrencies part of your horizon?
I think that it's something I'm very, very interested in. I don't know a lot about it, and this is why we bring people like Robin in to educate us. But Robin, specifically, you said these are often these initial token offerings or initial coin offerings are to fund specific projects. But these are also currencies. So can you enlighten us in terms of, in your case, what is this to fund and how would this become tradable thereafter?
Okay. So for the Hello Gold token that we're bringing to market on the 28th, on Monday, we're raising it to enable us to accelerate our business plans for Hello Gold And we're also using it to create a tokenized version of a gold-backed product so that people anywhere in the world can access gold through a tokenized version, literally, so that you can get it in Africa, Latin America, etc., for fractions of a cent. And we think that's value in that proposition for our target market, which is the unbanked and the underserved in emerging markets.
You know, one of the things that I still don't understand, because I'm still grappling with the issue, is the technology on which all this rests. And I understand it's called a blockchain. Mm. Now, help me here, Robin.
Yeah.
What is this technology on which cryptocurrencies, including, I believe, your tokens are going to be based?
Yeah, so a lot of the tokens that are being created these days are built off ERC-20, which is Ethereum-based platform technology. But in essence, all it is a ledger that enables you to record all your transactions and the amount of tokens you have in there and the transactions that go in and out. It's like a ledger, like a bookkeeping ledger. It's an indelible set of records.
Okay. What about the question of trust? Because I think of currencies, they're backed by governments, right? Mm. And governments are susceptible to popular pressures. We know that we see people and such, right? They're associated. Government is an abstract notion, but they're personnel. Now, does trust matter? I mean, does even your company have to have some sort of visibility for something like this to take off and for it to become a value proposition for the investor that in time to come, Mr. Robin is there still in this process, for instance?
Okay, I think to answer that, I need to come at it from two angles. First, with any investment, whether it's a token investment or an equities investment, every investor needs to be able to make an informed decision about what they're buying into. If you don't get the right amount of information that gives you the comfort level for you to make that investment, you should not make that investment. If you don't understand what you're buying into, you should not buy that investment. That's a principle of investing, whether it's securities, helping a friend, or buying into tokens. So that's no different, I think, in this industry. Now, in terms of trust and what we are doing in Hello Gold, I think we've created a structure that enables people to get more comfortable with what we're doing, because tokens, by their very nature, do not give generally the token holder any rights or obligations from the token issuer to them. It's no different from me making a donation to the Red Cross and hoping that the Red Cross will do what it says it will do with that money.
Oh, that seems to be a big problem. Then, I mean, yeah. So does it mean this is a high-risk proposition for the investor?
Absolutely. It is a high-risk, high-return investment, because the way the lot of tokens are structured is that you're effectively giving someone money and there's no rights or obligation attached to that.
And there's a promise to do something, isn't it?
But it's not a legal promise. And what token issuers should do is basically do, I think, what we've done in Hello Gold is try to structure as far as we can the ability for the supporter of our projects to see how we're doing, how we're spending that money, and making sure that we deliver on our promises.
Okay, we'll be back. Our guest today, Robin Lee, Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold. Next up, we talk about the question of gold in relation to these tokens. I'm sure I could. With me, Brian Fernandez, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez. And because it's the Ringgit and Cents show, where we look at the question of personal finance. Now, and we have our guest this morning, Robin Lee, is the Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold. We were talking about what will be a token sale, or a sale of tokens, rather, on the 28th of August. And this project that Hello Gold is embarking on is to create gold-backed tokens in the future. So we want to understand this process. You said that this is like giving money to the Red Cross, which is a wonderful analogy because it makes you sound like you're saving humanity, Robin. I don't know if that's quite what you meant, but it's a great one to pitch. But with no guarantees of a return. But if you do get a return, it's guaranteed to be high. Is that or that's not? It's just a high risk investment, is it?
Yeah. So using the Red Cross analogy, and just what we're doing in Hollow Gold, and what a lot of token issuers do is that they'll create a series of white papers or a white paper that sets out what the project's all about, how much they plan to raise, who's behind it, what are the outcomes in terms of deliverables over the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. And how they plan to report that back to the community of token supporters. So people, if they're interested in Hollow Gold or any other token sale, should download those documents, read them, and see if they buy into the project and buy into the outcomes, whether it's financial or not. And, you know, once they've done that, they make a decision and, you know, post the token sale, they can follow and monitor the progress of the projects.
Typically, what is the gestation period for a project like of this sort, and in particular your project, the gestation period, how long?
Well, we're slightly different from a number of the other token issuers that have come to market so far, because a lot of token sales are based off a white paper and they're building from scratch. And with all things that you build from scratch, there are unforeseen circumstances and outcomes that may delay or derail the project. For us in Hollow Gold, you know, we've built the platform, the core business. We have customers. We have a partner. We have de-risked a lot of the technological developments, but we plan to move forward and develop some more.
So this, okay, I'm just, because I asked about the gestation period and you didn't give it to me in terms of time. Because is it like, let's talk about animals, you know, use the animal metaphor. Is it like an elephant pregnancy? I mean, is it going to be like 22 months down the road before people who put money into this can reasonably expect some news of developments?
Well, no, they should see regular updates of where, of progress being made by the token issuer. In our case, we have deliverables over the next 12 months, and we plan to give updates on a fortnightly, monthly basis to the community.
So, Robin, just from someone who's never made an investment like this before, and this is very topical, cryptocurrencies, how would someone really invest in something like this? What do you need to do? I mean, how would I buy something from your token offering or, say, Ethereum or Bitcoin?
Okay. Using Hollow Gold as an example, you would need to register on our website, hollowgold.org, and you have to go through a whole KYC because we need to know who you are and make sure you're...
Sorry, what's the KYC?
We need to know the customer.
Oh.
We need to make sure that you are legitimate and you are who you say you are.
Oh, you're not a terrorist or somebody who's in the black market who's trying to kind of funnel or what is it?
Launder money.
Launder money, yeah. That's the expression I was looking for. Yeah.
So we need to do all that. So on the 28th of August, we've put a maximum cap of 10 ETH, which is about $3,000 per customer, because we want as wide a participation as possible. And you have to put your money in ETH, which means that if you don't have ETH, you need to go out there and buy some ETH from an exchange. And there are exchanges around the world. There's an exchange in Malaysia. And you need to sign up as a customer with that exchange, buy the ETH with Ringgit, and then take the ETH out and transfer it to us.
Sounds very complicated.
It is. It's one of the, and that's one of the things that we want to do with the money that we raise, the funds that we raise through the token sale, because right now, a lot of financial products that are available in the world are not available to the man in the street, and we want to kind of make it more accessible from a user-friendliness perspective. So one of the things that we want to do with our strategic partners is to create a user-friendly way for people to access this new asset class.
Now, you're selling these tokens on a Monday. How much are you hoping to raise? And what else can customers kind of expect from this particular initial offering? You don't call it an initial offering, do you?
Yeah, we call it a token sale. So We initially planned to raise a total of $8 million. I think we've been very fortunate because through our pre-sale process, we've gathered a lot of support, and we're likely to have to increase the 8 to 10 so that we have something to sell on Monday.
What about the question of this, the particular character of this token that you're trying to develop, the one that's gold-backed? I mean, how will it compete with the big boys? Would it be fair to say that you're coming into the game late? And if so, how do you kind of find visibility and get people to buy into this particular type of cryptocurrency?
When you're talking about big boys, you're talking about Bitcoin.
The Bitcoin and okay. Ethereum.
So. Well, actually, we're not competing with them. I think Bitcoin and Ether have a role to play. The gold-backed token that we're creating is primarily targeted for the man in the street in emerging markets.
And how do you think that you would target them specifically, given that the existing process itself is so onerous?
Well, that's exactly the point. We want to make that process a lot simpler. And, you know, wherever possible, we'll find partners that will develop applications for us to make it user-friendly. Where we can't find it, we'll develop it.
What about the target audience? Is it essentially a Malaysian sale or is it a global sale? And how are you getting the word out there?
Oh, it's definitely a global sale. To date, most of our investors are from outside Malaysia. And I think that's...
Could you name a couple of countries that give us a sense of the spread?
Well, a lot of the funds that we have received or are going to receive over the weekend will come from Korea, Japan, and China.
Oh, Northeast Asia.
Yeah, okay. And also into Europe.
Is that because they're more sophisticated in terms of their understanding of cryptocurrencies?
Well, we already had news that, you know, beggars in China accepting payment through e-wallets. And now that, you know, that suggests sophistication, at least from where I come from in Johor Bahru, you know. back to Brian's question, is there a reason why they should the source of your funding is clustered around these three countries?
I think just primarily because, you know, even if you just think about traditional real world fundraising, you know, a lot of the capital that people raise in traditional equity is also comes from North Asia if you're trying to, you know, launch a $10 billion fund. So I think it's just a population size rather than sophistication.
You know, one of the questions, because coming back to the analogy with the Red Cross, is that sometimes when people give to charities, they want to split between what's going to go into development, what's going to be going into administrative costs, for instance. We don't want these guys to take a fat paycheck home and, you know, deprive the poor starving people of, you know, whatever, food and clothing. I mean, is that part of the culture as well, that you have to explain how much is going towards administration, how much is going actually into development and research and such?
Well, yes, and I come back to my point in terms of looking at the documentation and making sure that what you're investing in or donating to meets your needs and your expectations. So absolutely, you know, if you want to make sure that funds are directed into the right areas, you should make sure that the documentation reflects that.
Okay, it's fascinating. So you're going to be launching your token on Monday, the 28th of August. Thank you so much, Robin, for joining us this morning.
Thank you, guys.
That was Robin Lee, Chief Executive Officer of Hello Gold. Next up, the news. And of course, after that, Enterprise. Keep tuning in. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.